Welcome to the Homeschool Unlocked podcast, the show that helps parents see homeschooling as a unique opportunity. So forget fear. You can inspire. You can guide your child. Homeschool Unlocked. It's not school, it's life. Welcome to Homeschool Unlocked. If you are joining us for the first time, my name is Monica Aviles. I have six children who I have homeschooled from the very beginning. Our oldest is 20 and our youngest is 7. My husband, who's normally on the podcast with us, is on a trip. So we have our fourth oldest here with us today, and that is Johan. Johan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Johan Aviles. I'm 15 years old. I'm in 10th grade. I love to play basketball, hang out with friends, and occasionally come on this podcast and talk about some really cool topics.
Including debate. And so we're going to continue on with this idea of equipping your students with tools that they are going to benefit from as they grow up and enter this whole season of being a young adult. However, I love a good joke. So Johan, go ahead. I don't know what he's going to say, so.
What do debaters and tennis players have in common?
They both need somebody to play with.
Not quite. They both require a good back and forth.
Hey, I like that one. So parents, we're going to be talking about debate. Now, if you have young children, you may want to think, hey, this doesn't apply. But I would love for you to still, I invite you to still listen. Because even at young ages, you're going to see that your kids want to use words and want to express themselves. And you, I will hope that, beep. And I hope that as you listen to Johan and we have this conversation, you're envisioned for those parents who are maybe just bringing your kids home and you debate, logic. Those are the last things on your mind right now. You're thinking, I just want to be able to practice some reading, some writing, debate. Like that's just a whole nother level. Listen in. I hope that you get a little bit of a vision and a little bit inspired to incorporate logic and debate, even in the smallest ways, into your homeschool environment. These tools are tools that you use in conversation. So even if you don't have a curriculum for these things, you're having conversations all the time. With your children, you're talking about what's for lunch or what are you going to wear. Whatever it is, you want to have an understanding of tools and then, yes, grow in your use of them and how you maybe study them and incorporate them. But what I really liked about this whole process of learning debate, and we're talking about team policy debate right now specifically, is that they're given a resolution, which is, think of it like as a statement. And then they have to research both sides because they're not going to know until a little bit before the actual formal debate event what side they're going to have to present. One day I was sitting here, and I will say that actually preparing for debate when our kids started this process, I can't remember if it was 8th or 9th grade, maybe 10th grade even, but you know, as they're getting closer to actually having formal debate events, Jesus actually really stepped in. Because there are many times, like for years in our homeschooling, where although Jesus was always being supportive, he wasn't actively involved in the day-to-day homeschooling part. He would do like more the board games or projects or something like that, not even necessarily projects. But as they got older, he took a more active role in certain things, and debate is one of them, which was great for me because I still had younger ones. And switching gears, well, sometimes gets a little tricky. And so he really understands debate. He enjoys it. And so he would take like, you know, a 5-hour block out of one weekend and just make sure to help whatever child it was that needed help with their debate. And in that whole process, though, there's things that I try to set up for success, right? So maybe I'm not involved in every step, but how can I kind of pre-frame things so that my kids, my husband, are able to do what they need to do. And as I was learning about debate and the affirmative and the negative, it really was a moment where God just showed me, hey, this is what I mean by love your neighbor or love your enemy. Because when you're preparing for a debate, you have to know both sides. And in real life, sometimes when you are looking at a person and the choices they make, you may be coming at it from one point of view, and I've judged, right? I don't necessarily know that judgments are wrong, but being condemning, right, wouldn't be what we want. And so you can judge something as good or bad or right or wrong. You can say, like, that's not the best choice, whatever it is. We just don't want to be condemning about it. And oftentimes it's just easy to have, right, a condemning attitude. And when you're debating and you have to look at something from both sides, it helps you put yourself in somebody else's shoes and think through why they would be approaching it that way, or what information do they have that's leading them to that conclusion. And that's one of the neat things about debate. It is about preparing for an event when, as they get older and they have a debate and they want to work as a team. But it's also more than that. It's teaching them how to collect information from both sides and then make a decision. But again, the point is not to use these tools in a way to be overbearing or manipulative. It's to use these tools to persuade, to make decisions which are, you know, are good and serve others. And if you are, like I said, if you have little ones or you're just new to homeschooling, enjoy this time learning a little bit about debate from someone who's right now growing. I'm so glad that you all get to enjoy what he has to share. And you're going to hear me. He's not a professional. He's a young man, but you get to hear directly from him what some of the benefits are. As a young adult, you definitely have ideas that you are working through and you like getting into good, healthy conversations. So tell us a little bit about your debate. Let me just set it up. This semester, Johan is continuing to use Learn and actually had a formal debate. Mila was his debate partner, but the process of debating is a useful skill as he is growing and he's now a young adult. And so it is actually a lot more involved and it's a whole learning process, but I love to see him and Mila prepare for this because they have grown to really enjoy. I mean, let me back up. Once they're actually on debate day, when it's a formal debate and they are as a team presenting, there's judges, there's another team that is there, the opposing team, there are a lot of nerves that come into play. It's not a stress-free, relaxed day. Nonetheless, it is an event that they look forward to. So Johan, for parents that are totally new to debate, who maybe have just little ones, what's the value of actually having a formal debate and learning? So tell us the format that you use.
So just like my mom beautifully put it, there is different styles of debate. Currently, we are doing what's called a team policy debate. So we are given a topic, usually related to government or federal or really important topics in our current world, and we are assigned a teammate. Very fortunately, I was given my sister. She's a great teammate, very smart and very easy to work with. We have other debates where we will be doing Lincoln Douglas, which is a one-on-one debate with no teammates. But currently, team policy debate is the only one I've ever done. So we're originally given a topic, and after we are given a topic, we're told to study for both sides. So for my last debate, I had the legal driving age should be raised. I had a negative, so I was saying it should stay the same, it should not be lowered. So we're not necessarily arguing the other team, we're just arguing the policy. It's easy to get caught up in debate and start it being like a battle between two people. But something that we're always encouraged and reminded to do is we're arguing policy. So if the policy is, let's just say, hamburgers should be illegal, we need to not get caught up, oh, and Oh, well, you ate a cheeseburger yesterday, so how can you be saying we should ban them if you eat them? We're focusing only on the policy. We can focus on the dietary health. Are hamburgers good for you? We can focus on the environmental in terms of how many cows are killed, or if we're in the opposing team, cheap way to get nourishment, great source of protein. If you're on the affirmative or negative side, there's great arguments for both. But just like my mom said, a team policy debate has to do with a certain policy. The affirmative team is saying we should keep whatever the policy states, and the negative team is stating we should change. So in the terms of burgers should no longer be allowed, the affirmative team would be arguing that we should ban burgers, and the negative team would be saying we should not.
If there is a certain policy, for example, the United States government should regulate the production of beef. That's a policy. If that's the resolution, the side that is arguing for that is called the affirmative. The side that is arguing that that policy should be changed is called the negative.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us about this particular policy debate. Without going too much into actually this particular debate topic, we're just going to share the debate so that our audience knows and has an idea of what you're talking about, but we're not going to go into the details. We just want to talk a little bit about the structure of it and the value of learning the skill of debate.
For sure. In this debate, our topic was federal Congress should have term limits. We were originally told to study both sides, the side saying we should keep no term limits or the side we should add term limits. After we studied, our teachers gave us the assigned sides. We were either giving affirmative or negative. I was given affirmative, so that means I'm affirming the resolution. I'm saying, yes, we should instigate term limits for federal Congress. Some ways I like to prepare for my debate. I've seen through my life many debaters who are very, very, very good at studying. They have all the right articles, they have all the right words, but they're too rigid. They rely purely on articles to state for them, and whenever they get a question that does not directly tie to those things, they get panicked. They lose their word. So when you're studying for a debate, it's important to not just learn about articles which affirm your point, but you should also learn about arguments that affirm the other team's point. It'll help you. If you study both sides, you will most likely have a good idea of what the opposing team is thinking about, which will help you prepare properly. Going into every debate, I like to remember that I've worked very hard and I've studied. Even if you're not so confident with the information you're sharing, if you show confidence, you're calm and collected, it'll show the judges a very good impression. I've had debates where I've not necessarily been the better side when it comes to policy, but due to my composure and my ability to handle pressure, I've demonstrated to the judges why the policy should change. The opposing team was unable to faze me, which allowed the judges to believe that my policy was naturally better because the opposing team couldn't poke holes in it. For all the new debaters, remember, we're here to have fun and learn key life lessons, such as how to debate properly. I know debating is somewhat related to arguing, but arguing and debating are different. In arguments, we more often than not do not have a common goal. In an argument, we're often having a conflict of interest, which can lead for us to being heated and sometimes rude. But when it comes to a debate, remember, our number one goal is to merely show why our side will affect in a positive way the people around us. Remember, for all our new debaters out there, if you stay cool, calm, and collected, and do your work, you will see great improvement over the time. I've only been doing debate for about 2 years now, but I've seen with my ability to learn, and my ability to listen, and my ability to talk, it has been very helpful.
And have you won every debate?
Unfortunately.
So you haven't won every debate. Give me two things that you've learned in the loss.
So yeah, definitely. In my first loss, I thought I was really, really properly prepared. And I thought there was like no way I lose this. I was so prepared. But I realized debate, when it comes to team policy, you're on a team. And I had realized that I had kept my knowledge to myself. So though I may have been a strong speaker, was I helping my teammate in the best way possible? Not at all. I hadn't properly communicated with them, which didn't set them up for success. So we were almost like two solos instead of one team.
That's awesome. I love how you said that. That's very, very well said.
Yeah, for sure. You just got to remember, it is a team sport. And if you're not helping the team, then you're hurting the team. And my second thing is, Even if you've done your best, sometimes you still lose. In my last debate, I thought I performed at a very high level. But when I didn't win, I immediately decided, oh, it was this, it was that. But I realized that you can always perform better. You can always be better. So whenever you have that little break, and you could have spent that little break maybe just polishing up a couple things, and I chose not to. And you chose not to, that could be the difference between a win and a loss. And that's totally okay. You're never going to get everything entirely right. But keep striving to get better and you will see improvement.
You're 15 years old now, but looking down the road, 5 years you're 20, another 10 years you're 25. How are the skills, or how will the skills that you learned in this whole process of learning how to debate, preparing for a debate, working as a team, how do you see the skills that you learned in this whole process helping you, future Johan, 20-year-old Johan, 25 and beyond, for what you're going to do when you're 20, 25 and beyond?
Yeah, there's so many applicable situations when it comes to learning debate. Often when we think about debate, we merely think we're just arguing. But if you look at the key essence of debate, it's to have a conversation. That's what it truly is. I'm sure I'm going to have many important conversations. We often, in modern day society, link debate to arguing. And arguing is often seen as a bad thing. And arguing can be a bad thing. But debate doesn't have to be arguing. Debate is a conversation between two people. Just because people have different viewpoints doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong. Later in life, I will face many scenarios, I'm sure, where people will have different viewpoints of me. Does that mean I should merely shut them down, ignore them, or cut them off? Not at all. I should use my debate skills of listening, understanding, and then I can answer, of course.
Yeah, preparing, you research, yeah. you think through things.
For sure. With debate, we're taught understand, listen, and then once you've understood their point, then you can answer. Because if we understand a lot of arguments, most arguments are started when people have different understandings of the word. So if one person believes love is a relationship between two people, and one person believes love is just a connection two people feel, they might argue about the topic of love for a very long period of time. But if they truly just paused, breathed, and said, what is your definition of love? That debate could have been solved much faster. So by using my debate skills to process and think through arguments, it will help me not only in my day-to-day life, but in big scenarios and key points of my life.
I love it. And I appreciate that you're taking the time to learn this skill. I appreciate how you use it, even here at home. There are times, like you said, we're thinking through something. We're not talking about something like, this is right or this is wrong. This is okay. Let's look at something. There's a topic here, and there are different ways to correctly handle this. And we're thinking through, well, what's the best way, or what's the better way, and maybe even the best way. So I see you using this at home already. I love how you use your words to persuade, to build others up, and that you're already starting to understand that words have power and that they can be used and should be used correctly and with lots of love. So I appreciate you being a guest here on these last two episodes. I love you so much. Listeners, subscribe. Make sure that you know every Wednesday when our podcast is released, and share with somebody that you care about. Homeschool Unlocked, it's not school,
it's life.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Check out our link below and subscribe to our podcast. We hope that we helped you by unlocking a new way of seeing homeschooling. Who else needs to hear this? Only you know. So take action and share it. Because remember, homeschool unlocked. It's not school, it's life.